Welcome to a Times Square Church National Day of Prayer special.
October 1st, 1957, the day a familiar phrase gained, well, currency. For that was the day the words, "In God We Trust," first appeared on America's paper money.
In 1861, U.S. Treasury Secretary Salmon Chase instructed the director of the Mint to prepare a motto for use on American coins. In his letter, he said, "No nation can be strong except in the strength of God. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins." Welcome to In God We Trust, a National Day of Prayer special with Carter Conlon, pastor of Times Square Church in New York City. Carter's message today is a reminder that it's never too late to cry out to God, to pray.
A short time ago, I had an opportunity to speak with a young African evangelist. I'm really desired to come and be part and be trained at our Bible school, Summit International School of Ministry, in Grantville, Pennsylvania. And I just remember his words to me. He said, I so wanted to come to the country that had "In God We Trust" on its money, on its currency. I used to wonder, what kind of a country is that that puts these kind of words on their currency? "In God We Trust." And I looked into the innocency of his eyes, and it almost broke my heart. The thought came into my mind, he'll find out soon enough that that's a motto that has seemingly in our time begun to slip through our hands. I looked at Wikipedia, and here's the origin of the words "In God We Trust" on the back of our currency. Let me read it to you. "In God We Trust" is the official motto of the United States. It was adopted as the nation's motto in 1956 as an alternative or replacement for the unofficial motto of "E Pluribus Unum," which was adopted when the Great Seal of the United States was created and adopted in 1782. "In God We Trust" first appeared on the 2-cent piece in 1864 and has appeared on paper currency since 1957. A law passed in a joint resolution by the 84th Congress and approved by President Dwight Eisenhower on July 30, 1956, declared, "In God We Trust" must appear on American currency. This phrase was first used on paper money in 1957. When it appeared on the $1 silver certificate. The first paper currency bearing the phrase entered circulation on October 1, 1957. The 84th Congress later passed legislation, also signed by President Eisenhower, on July 30, 1956, declaring the phrase to be the national motto of the United States of America. I want to draw your attention this day to Psalm 56 in the Old Testament. It's a psalm that is written by King David at a moment in his life when he was surrounded by forces that were bent on eradicating the testimony of God that was being established in the nation of Israel and through his life as one of their leaders of his time. Listen to the words he says beginning in verse 1. "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High." In David's time and in our time, voices had been risen up against all that he formerly believed. There were voices saying, "You're now passé, David. What you once believed, what you once felt, what you once were taught and told by God is now going to have to give way to this new order that we represent and are bringing into your borders. And so, David, just give it up. It's all part of the past." And the words were so profound, the threat was so significant, it caused David to say, "Oh God, I have to appeal now to your mercy, because they've opened their mouths against your testimony in my life and in all that my life represents. And if I'm not careful, Lord, in turning to you, their words will indeed swallow me up, because every day their voices stand against me." It was producing, actually, a deep fear in the heart of David. It's a sudden fear that's in the hearts of many today. coupled with a faint echo of the trust which once belonged to us as a people. Listen to David's words. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? You know, when I was reading these words, I couldn't help but wonder, were those words prophetic for this nation? Did God have the Congress pass these resolutions and put these words on our currency because of a future day that was going to come our way where the threat of being swallowed by godlessness would somehow invade our borders, bring fear into the hearts of many who have loved the presence of God, loved the Word of God, they've loved the promises of God, they've given honor to God in great measure in this nation? Is it possible that God was speaking to us about a future day, a future trust that he was going to ask us to have, a future opportunity to begin to pray and turn back to him again and see this godlessness pushed out of our borders? When I am afraid, David said, I will trust in you. I want to speak to the Christians that are out today listening to my voice on the radio. Don't give up your trust in God, especially at this time of national prayer. Don't ever buy the thought that somehow we've become post-Christian or our society is so radically changed it will never be the same again. I remind you that God still sits on the throne. I remind you today he still holds all power in his hand. I remind you that when we pray, he promises to hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and to heal our land. Even if we are battling with fear today, you and I are called. All you have to do is look at the currency that might be in your back pocket and realize that there was a prophetic word given to this nation. In God we trust. David says they've launched a word war against us. All day, verse 5, they twist my words, and their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps. They lie in wait for my life. Shall I escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. All day, they launch a word war against me. All day, they take my love of God, my love of truth, my love of family, my love of life. And they called me a hater. They called me a bigot. They called me a divider. They called me out of touch. They called me unnecessary. They labeled me with all these new words that they're inventing, when all I ever wanted to do was live for God and serve him, when all we ever wanted to do as a people is to honor God in every way we have or could in our borders. We wanted to go to the house of God. We wanted to be a family. We wanted to raise our children. We wanted to teach them the difference between right and wrong as God states that it should be and ought to be in every generation. But yet, a generation has arisen up who are twisting our words. Their thoughts are against us for evil. They gather together, they hide, they look at ways to accuse us. But David cries out, O God, there must be an anger in your heart against this. And we ask you, Lord, to cause them to advance no farther in what they are attempting to achieve. In verse 8, he says, you number my wanderings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? And I think of the grief of heart that's in so many people's lives now. As we go to bed and we try to read the news and we just read about this endless parade of debauchery that's trying to take over our nation, confusing our children in grade school, murdering so many in the womb, causing them to believe there is no God in high school, and then radicalizing them against both God and country and even our history now in college. There's a fearfulness, and it has even moved some of you to tears. And you wonder in your heart, what kind of a nation are we becoming? What is going to happen to us in the future? What will happen to our children and our grandchildren? Some of us are not afraid for ourselves, but we do have trepidation for our children and for our grandchildren. Then David literally cries out. He says, when I cry out to you, in verse 9, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. David is saying, oh God, for the sake of your name and for the sake of our children, push this godlessness back. I trust in you, Lord. Now, David had made mistakes, and his mistakes had brought him into captivity. He ended up in a place that he shouldn't have been. Just as we as a nation and a people have ended up today in a place that we ought not to be. We shouldn't even be having to have this present discussion that we're having on the radio today. But sadly, we've traveled because of our own laziness into the enemy's territory, and now we find ourselves as prey to their teeth. But I'm reminded every day, the motto of this nation is "In God We Trust." It's never too late to cry out to God. It's never too late to ask the Lord to turn back our enemies, because God is still for us.
You're listening to the 2018 National Day of Prayer Special with Carter Conlon, pastor of Times Square Church in the heart of New York City. It's a call to prayer, a reminder that in God we trust.
Back in the Old Testament, there was a story in the book of 2 Kings where the prophet Elisha was in a city, and suddenly the king of Syria, the enemies of Israel, always wanting to swallow the testimony of God in the earth. This is the constant battle, my friend, that we will always fight. They've always fought it since the Garden of Eden. We will always fight it until Christ returns and restores his kingdom to the earth. But once again, we see the story of an enemy army literally encircling a city and causing the people's hearts to be afraid. When they woke up in the morning, the servants of God looked out, and there was horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and they surrounded the city. And the servant of Elisha, the man of God, rose early and went out. There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant of Elisha said to him, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" And Elisha answered and said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And my prayer for you today is, oh God, would you open the eyes of your people again? Would you help us to look away from the news? Help us to look away from the threatenings of darkness and the seemingly stopless advance of all of the agenda of the godless to destroy everything that you have made this nation to be. Lord, open their eyes and let them see that you are still with us. Let them see that the hosts of heaven are still here at our disposal. Let them see and understand, oh God, that when we pray, you can still move your hand and you can still push this darkness back where it belongs. Verse 18 says of 2 Kings chapter 6, "So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed again to the Lord and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." And you and I have the right to pray these words and say, "God, push back this darkness. Do not let this spiritual power of wickedness in high places achieve its intended goal. Do not let our generation be swallowed by godlessness. Do not let perversion be put on parade and being called good any longer. God Almighty, do not let the objectives of this godless moment in history be accomplished upon our nation." Now Elisha said to them in verse 19, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. In other words, one praying man brought the whole army of the Syrian enemy of that time into captivity. Do you understand, my brother, my sister, the power that's in prayer? Do you fully understand that the effectual prayers of a righteous man or righteous woman still avail much? Do you fully comprehend that God is encouraging us to pray again and call out to him? The promise that he once made to his own people still stands. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That promise still stands true for you and I today. And so it was in verse 20. When they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. You see, you and I are not praying for God to harm anyone. The Christ that we serve is not violent. The only violence that was ever enacted in his life was the violence that he allowed to be poured on himself to take the sin of all humanity and pay the price for it. And as his people, he calls us to peace. He calls us to pray for and to love our enemies. And this ought to be our prayers. God, we're not asking you to harm anyone. We're asking you to open the eyes of these people who believe that they have the power to swallow the testimony of God and encircle and envelop an entire nation and bring it into subservience to their objectives. God, open their eyes and show them that you are God. Show them the futility of their pursuit. Show them, Lord, that no matter how much power they have, there's a power that is greater than theirs. There's a future that awaits them outside of your kingdom, and there's another future that awaits them inside of your kingdom. And the scripture says the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. When their eyes were opened, they realized that they had been taken captive. We need to pray for the godless of this generation that they would see that they have been taken captive by a godless ideology, by a euphoric understanding of society that has no grounding in history or in reality. It has no true blessing. It brings nothing but hatred and division. We need to pray, God, open their eyes. We don't want them judged. We want them to be forgiven. Now, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? And Elisha answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Shall I harm them? Was the call of this secular king. And Elisha said, no, you don't harm people that you've taken captive by prayer. No, you show them the kindness of God so that they may go home and consider their ways. This is the way of the cross. This is the way of the Christian church. Yes, we pray. Yes, we stand. But as God himself showed his kindness through his son, Jesus Christ, we are to be ambassadors of this kindness of God, even to our enemies, even to those who oppose us. When I cry out to you, David said in Psalm 56, verse 9, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. This I know. This I know. This I know. I know this. When I pray, when I believe God, I have the promise. America, you have the promise that your enemies will turn back because God Almighty is still for you. David says in verse 10, in God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? David was saying, my future is not in the hands of man. My future is not in the hands of those who oppose the truth of God and even their own salvation. My future is in the hands of God. Then he closes this particular psalm with an incredible statement on his own behalf, which you and I ought to make as citizens of this great nation today. Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? In other words, O God, we declared many years ago that you would be our trust. We promised that this would be true. We even passed resolutions in Congress, putting it upon our currency. And so, Lord, we consider it a binding promise that we made to you. And so I choose this day to trust you. I choose this day to render praises to you because you will be faithful. And God, we are in trouble, but you will deliver us from the power of the spiritual wickedness in this nation that would try to bring darkness into our borders and cause it to reign supreme. You have delivered my soul from death. You delivered us from oppression, gave us the courage to stand, and you made us a great nation in the earth. But today, O God, will you not keep our feet from falling, that we may continue to walk before you in the light of the living? This is the cry of my heart. This is the prayer of my heart. This National Day of Prayer, O God, we come back to you and we make the declaration, in God we trust. We trust, Lord, for your mercy. We trust for your compassion, even for our enemies. We trust, Lord, that as we turn to you, that you will forgive us for what we have done and that you will heal our land. We trust, Lord Jesus Christ, that your name will be honored in our borders once again. We don't know how, but we know who is able to make this happen. So we come to you today in humility. We recognize our fault and our failing. And we ask you, O God, that once again in America, that we would be a beautiful nation in the world who trusts in you. I'd like to close today with the wonderful words of this song, America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. There's a beautiful verse that we don't get to sing too often, but here it is. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. Take a moment and sing this with me. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Lord Jesus Christ, on this National Day of Prayer, we would once again lift our voices to you. And even though we have failed and fallen, even though we let the testimony of who you are in great measure slide through our fingers, even though we find ourselves in a place with the godlessness of this moment wanting to swallow the testimony and the joy and the hope of this nation and of your people, we lift our voices one more time and we declare that we trust you. We trust and believe that as we call out to you, Lord, that you will push back the darkness and once again allow us to walk in the light of the living. Lord Jesus Christ, let your name be glorified again in this moment of history. As you have done time and again throughout history, you have shown that you're a God of great mercy. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Hear our prayer, O Lord, that comes from sincere hearts. Revive us. Renew us. Bring us back, O God, to your house again. Teach us again how to pray. Teach us, Lord, what it means to have you as the center of our trust. God bless you, everyone who's listening today. And remember, it's time to pray.
thank you for joining us for In God We Trust, a National Day of Prayer special with Carter Conlon from Times Square Church in New York City.